Here we go then, it's Derby weekend. Welcome along to this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by our good friends at Unibet. We've got plenty of action over the next couple of days. We're going to be covering the Saturday primarily, looking at the Derby itself. We will get an Oaks selection off our panel towards the end of the show as well. Joining me on this week's panel, we have Graham Robway and a debutant, Joel Rees from the Racing Post. And from Unibet, stepping in for the big occasion is Mr. Brett Williams. Brett, we're going to have plenty of offers from Unibet across both of the days at Epsom. Just give us a little bit of an overview.
Yeah, lots of extra places, the price boost, the super boost, the money back offers as well, and also lots of specials which will be available sort of early morning Saturday with you having a look at doing something different in the dark. But yeah, no, looking forward to what should be a brilliant couple of days on the Surrey Downs. And I feel a bit like Des Lynam or Sue Barker. You know, they used to sort of get rid of Claire Borden for the Derby and get Sue Barker and get rid of Julian Wilson and Jonathan Powell for Des Lynam. So Ed Nicholson, step aside. I'm here to cover the main action.
Yeah, we'll just let Ed know that you compared him to Claire Balding. I'm sure he'll absolutely love that. Right, let's discuss. We'll start
well,
off with the Derby.
Actually, in all fairness,
we'll start off with the Derby, gents. The big race on Saturday, the Betfred Derby, 4 o'clock there at Epsom. Obviously, a mile and a half for the Colts, and Benvenuto Cellini topping the market as he has done since Chester at 15-8 with Unibet. Item at 7-2. Pierre Bonnard 5-1. Maltese Cross is 17-2. James J. Braddock 10-1. Bay of Brilliance 11s. Ancient Egypt 12s. Action 16s. 22-1 about Christmas Day, and 100-1 and bigger about the other five in the field. Right, let's have a little bit of discussion around some of the horses then, gents. And Joel, as a debutant, I'm going to come to you first, and you get the pleasure of talking about the favourite here, Benvenuto Cellini. Obviously a very impressive winner of the Chester Vars. We've already seen one Chester winner come out and win a classic, albeit a French classic, but very well in Constitution River. But Benvenuto Cellini, just tell us a bit about him.
Yeah, so again, this is going to be a race that's very dependent on the ground. Obviously, we saw that with Benvenuto at Doncaster when it ran in the mile race at the end of last year. It went heavy that day, and he did seem to struggle on the ground. I think Aidan said that he's a good mover. So obviously, they're hoping for some nice, quick ground, which again, it depending on the weather coming in potentially early Saturday, could have an effect on his chances. I thought he was very impressive at Chester. Won it 2-9, won as he should, really. But I think the race was set up for him. The horse, Water to Wine, that was originally in the race, was his biggest competitor, was a non-runner. And I just felt like he got the run of the race. And as much as he did it impressively, I'm not quite sure if I'm fully convinced. I feel like the team maybe always seem to prefer Constitution River. And as obviously he is a high benchmark, but I think I'll be against the favourite.
Okay, yeah, Aidan O'Brien with plenty of entries in the race. Benvenuto Cellini, Pierre Bonnard, Action, Christmas Day, they're all in here. Now, there are a few other trials that obviously we can talk about. Graham, Item being one of them. I was in the office watching the Dante with you when this horse won. He looks like the main competitor to Ballydoyle in this field, but what did you make of that performance in the Dante?
Yeah, I was there, Sam, for the Dante. I wasn't that impressed with it. I didn't think it was a great Dante going into the race. And yes, Item won the work race well. But the time was nothing special, put it that way. The sectionals were nothing special. And I think he'll finish well beaten in this race, Item.
Okay, wow, yeah. I actually forgot, I wasn't with you for the Dante, I was with you for the Musadora in the office, but there you go, there were two jumping horses that went and won that. But yeah, Item, he's a really interesting one here. Obviously comes in unbeaten for the Andrew Balding team, so we'll wait and see how he performs. The other horse in here, Pierre Bonnard's got Christoph Seumann's got the mount aboard Pierre Bonnard here. Brett, what did we make of the Ballydoyle, what we're going to call potentially their second string?
Well, it's been a lot of money for Pierre Barnard. Of course, he's got some rock solid funding. So this time, well, not this time last year, but sort of towards the back end of his 2 year campaign, everyone was really putting him up as a Derby contender. In fact, I think he was favourite at one stage. And of course, he's got close form with James J. Braddock, of course, who he could pack a punch in as what he could do. You know, it's a really, really interesting race. And I know that Roddick is quite keen on Maltese Cross, and he's a horse I really like. I thought that was a good trial at Lingfield against Bayard Brilliance, and you know, he looked as if he was going to get beaten by the Rafe Beckett runner, but he really did knuckle down and really show great tenacity. So you can make a good case, I think, for Maltese Cross. I was listening to a podcast, so I can't say it's my own knowledge, but I think they said that William Haggis has only ever had four runners in the Derby. One, of course, was a winner back in 1995 with Charmit, and the others have sort of been running okay. But this has got to be quite significant, I think, that he's a relatively lightly raced horse for a horse going into the Derby, but I think he could be really interesting at around sort of 9 to 10, 10 to 1 with Unibet. And then, of course, you've got Ancient Egypt. You know, he's a horse who's probably could be sipping under the radar slightly, did nothing wrong at Newmarket. He's got some strong two-year-old form, with Pierre Barnard being one of them in particular. He gets the trip well. It's a cracking race. It is, you know, we've got a good sized field for it. We're paying four places each way in the Derby. And, you know, you can make a case for, there aren't many you can really rule out. I suppose that the Richard Hannon horse, you'd probably draw a line through that one, that, you know, the big rags in the field. But, you know, certainly in the sort of ten of them, you can make a really good, really strong case for.
Yeah, from the way that people talk about the top few in the market, there is the case there could be a bit of a shock in this year's Derby. Maltese Cross was mentioned there, G-Rod. I was really intrigued because I thought both the Lingfield trials were actually quite good. I thought Cameo was really impressive in the Oaks trial as well. I think she's got a fair chance on Friday. But Maltese Cross, I don't like saying this about horse because I actually think he's really good, but he is to me potentially a little bit of a boat in the fact that I think he could end up becoming a decent ledger contender, and I'd probably rather back him for a ledger now than a Derby. That's my opinion on him, but you're a big fan of this horse.
Well, for a start, I think they're all boats in this race, personally, Sam. I really do. I don't think
they might need their oars anyway. There's all the rain.
they might with the rain that's forecast. That's true, Brett. Yeah, I mean, to me, Benvenuto Cellini reminds me an awful lot of Lambourne, who won it last year. You know, I mean, he looked fairly slow and stayer to my eye. I don't think he's the sort of similar sort of horse to Constitution River, who's got a bit of brilliance about him. You know, I think they're going to go out there, the Aidan O'Brien team, they're going to turn this into a real test of stamina. I hope that Benvenuto Cellini outstays them. And he might, you know, because Lambourne stayed well last year. But I don't think we're looking at a Galileo or an outstanding winner of this year's Derby. I think we're looking at a more average Derby, put it that way. I think whoever wins this, you know, I don't think you'll be going on, they'll be going on to win arcs and dominating the year. You know, I don't think there's a superstar in this race. I could be wrong. And for that reason, you know, I'm really interested in Maltese Cross because, like you say, he does look a bit boatish, but he gets the job done. He's a dour stayer to my eye. He's unflashy, he's uncomplicated. He only just does enough, which I really like. Obviously, William Haggis won this with Charmit, as Brett said, and 1995 was there that day. Shows you how old I am. Yeah, I mean, to me, in a race that is wide, wide open, Maltese Cross has got as good a chance as any, as has Bay of Brilliance, who, of course, was only a neck behind him. Mm-hmm. I really like that Lingfield form, Sam. I'll tell you why. Because although they ran a slower time overall than Cameo, Maltese Cross and Bay of Brilliance, their finishing sectionals compared well with Cameos. They were much faster over the last few furlongs. And if you watch the race, just watch the way that Maltese Cross and Bay of Brilliance distance between themselves and the third, Balzac, over quite a short space of time, the last couple of furlongs, they suddenly pull 6.5 lengths clear of Balzac. And I think that is a decent effort given how quickly they finished. They evidently had to quicken up to pull that far clear because they were finishing fast. It was a good finishing sectional. And as a result, I won't just give you the winner, I'll give you the first two. Maltese Cross is going to beat Bear Brilliance and a repeat of the Lingfield race.
Well, I'm not sure whether the birds in the background are telling you to be quiet and disagreeing or whether they're in full agreement with you there, G-Roll, but that'll be a hell of a forecast there if these two do come in. The one that we haven't mentioned too much, Brett's mentioned briefly, Joel, is James J. Braddock. I've been going around the office and hearing plenty about this horse being kind of the one to be with out of kind of the ones at double-figure prices. But, you know, Pierre Bonnard was behind, as Brett mentioned, but Pierre Bonnard's now half the price. Do you think Pierre Bonnard will reverse that form, or do you think James J. Braddock's got a right chance?
I do think Pierre Bonnard will probably reverse the form. I think I know Aidan said that it was only until, I think, after the Valley Sacks that, or maybe even the last race, that they've actually started putting some proper work into him. I just wonder with that race in the Leopardstown Derby trial, whether just James J. Braddock, he just nicked it, I think. Pierre Bonnard, he did seem to take a while to go by endorsement, and James J. Braddock just, yeah, robbed him on the line. I also do wonder with that race myself, which obviously includes Pierre Bonnard, how good the race really was. I mean, obviously Pierre Bonnard and James J. Braddock were both well down the field in the Ballysacks. Endorsement just about holds that form together, but yeah, I wouldn't be looking James J. Braddock's way anyway, put it that way.
Okay, fine. Right, I'm going to get your selection in a minute, Joel, but we've already got 1-2 off Graham Robway. So, Brett, I'm going to come to you. Who's your main fancy and who's going to be finishing second in behind?
When I was up at Chester and saw Benvenuto Cellini win the Vaz, I think I tweeted out saying, there's your Derby winner. And then I saw Maltese Cross a couple of days later and thought, actually, no, that's a good performance from both the first and the second. I suppose you should just point out as well, with that Lingfield form, Maltese Cross had a run, whereas Bay of Brilliance was having his first run of the season. So you would perhaps expect him just to improve it a little bit more from a fitness and perhaps a mental point of view as well. I agree with G-Rob with regards to Item. I wasn't impressed with him in the Dante, primarily from a point of view that, did you see the way he sort of changed his legs, was on his off ball, then he switched to his near four all the way along. So will he handle Epsom? That's got to be a big question mark, I think, for Item as well. So I would certainly be inclined to draw a line through him. So for me, I think the favourite will likely win. I think he could be pretty smart. He's been backed as if he will win. He's 15-8 now from 2-1 with Unibets. We have seen support for him. So yeah, Benvenuto Cellini for me to beat Maltese Cross. I expect to see him staying on really well. And I do agree with you as well. He could emerge as a possible St. Ledger candidate. But don't forget Ancient Egypt. He could be thereabouts as well.
Okay, there you go. A few from Brett there. But Benvenuto Cellini, Maltese Cross, seem the 1-2. I think Benvenuto Cellini is going to go and probably just go and win this. And I actually do think Action's going to run a big race. I think he's improving run for run. He's looked a difficult horse at the start of this season, but I definitely think he's improving. Wayne Lorden gets the ride, and I absolutely love Wayne Lorden. He's already delivered in two classics this season across England and Ireland. So, yeah, I'd have Action as the horse to go in behind. I think Ballydore have got a really strong hand in this, albeit not a strong derby. So, yeah, Benvenuto Cellini to be Action for me. And to finish this off, it's going to be Joel with your 1-2, please.
Yeah, just before I start on that, I just wanted to raise a point about Item. I remember at York that week, a lot of horses were winning down the far side of the track, and Action and Item ran down that side of the track in the Dante, and they ended up finishing 1-2. So I just wonder, I do think Item is good, but were they an advantage over that side of the track? That would be something I'd be considering with him. For my winner, I'm going to sort of go along with the thought that there could be a bit of a shock. I'm looking at around the bracket of Ancient Egypt and Christmas Day. I wanted to pick one that's sort of going to go from the front. I'm less sure, obviously, whether that will happen with Christmas Day. But I know the Johnson team really like Ancient Egypt. Again, I think the slight worry is the ground with him. I think they said they would like it to be sort of quite quick. And obviously, at this point in time, it's looking like it could have some soft in the description. So I think I'm going to side with Christmas Day, going along with the point that I said earlier in the Dante. Christmas Day actually finished best of the horses on his side, which was the rest of the field. So I think at around about 20-1, 25-1, I think that'll be my play each way in the race.
Okay, Christmas Day and ancient Egypt. Christmas Day landing in June. That'd be some story and some headline for the Racing Post if that were to come off. So there we go. That is the panel's Derby fancies and a bit of information with regards to some of the runners in the field. Do let us know down in the comments who you fancy for this year's race. I will engage with as many as I can over the weekend. Right, the rest of ITV's Saturday Epsom card is coming shortly after this.
You're up early, checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m, either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. Going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions, percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not, overnight market moves, eye catchers from our analysts who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious edge.
Welcome back to part two of this week's Racing Postcast. The Derby Festival is here. It's myself, Sam Hart, Graham Robway, Joel Rees, and Seppi and Fred Nicholson. It is Brett Williams this week from Unibet. The rest of the ITV card away from the Derby, it does look like there are some cracking races on the card. And the first we're going to be looking at is the 1:30 there at Epsom, which is the Tattenham Corner Stakes, a Group 3 contest formerly known as the John of Gaunt Stakes. 7 furlong series, the trip. Never So Brave is top in the market, Unibet 6-4 currently. Alcantor 7-2, 10 Bob Tony 9-2, Witness Stand 15-2, Poet Master 8-1, Chicago Critic 12-1, Golden Mind 14s, and Bal Makara is the outside of the lot at 25-1. Graham Robway, Never So Brave seems like, I find these horses, you get these 7 furlong specialists, it does seem like he is that 7 furlong specialist who will go down that full route across the year, and stuff like the Lennox Stakes would be up there. You'd also have the race at York as well, and maybe even in France at the back end of the season. But he does seem like a rightful favourite. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. He's a Group 1 winner, isn't he? In a Group 3 race. So, yeah, he's definitely the right favourite. He doesn't have to carry a penalty for his Group 1 victory. And, in all honesty, he's just better than these, isn't he? He's just a better horse than these. He's £3 better than them, according to official ratings. He's £4 better than them. According to RPRs, you can forget he's run first time up Sandown, because he it was a mile and he pulled far too hard to have any chance of winning that race. He didn't actually run that badly when he was behind Cicero's Gift in the QE2. I actually think he will stay a mile, Never So Brave, in time. I just think he needs to settle. And if he settles, I think he'll stay. He's the most likely winner, but he's priced accordingly. We don't know if he'll go on the ground, do we? And we don't. Well, the first thing we must say, right, and we don't know what the ground's going to be. Yeah. You know, I mean, a lot of people are saying it's going to be soft, right? But it might not be. It might be good. You know, I was talking to Paul Keeley on Tuesday night, and he said, unless it rains on Saturday, it'll be good. It'll be good ground, you know. And he lives right by Epsom and has seen many, many, many derbies. You know, so you're talking to someone who really does know about the area. I, in the back of my mind, I feel we might be blowing the ground a little bit out of proportion. It might not be as bad as we think it's as a lot of people are saying it's going to be. But it might be. You know, it might absolutely hack it down with rain on Saturday, and it might be soft. We just don't know. And as a result, I can't make selections based on this ground or that ground. I'm just going to make selections on who I think is the best horse. And I know Never So Brave is the best horse. I think he'll win, but he wouldn't be one of my better bets because I'm not really a player at those sorts of odds. As you know, Sam, I do like one at odds.
Okay, there we go. We'll wait and see what Graham's got for the rest of the card then as we move on throughout the postcast. Brett, I'm just going to come to you here because we're speaking off air and you liked a horse who was formerly with Andre Farb, had his first start for Joseph O'Brien last month. But this horse here, Alcantor, is a really fascinating one who, again, should appreciate this trip. And it's just a matter of whether he'll appreciate Epsom.
Yeah, I mean, arguably, you could say he's better over a mile than he is over 7 furlongs. He has got to win over 1,400 metres, but a mile is probably his optimum. And unlike Never So Brave, who is, as you've said, a proper 7 furlong specialist. I mean, I completely agree with everything that Gibran said with regards to the ground. Perhaps we are sort of looking into it too much and expecting it to be a lot softer than it actually will end up being. If that isn't the case, then I would certainly be inclined to side against our contour for that reason, because all of his form is on sort of soft, heavy. I think he's had five wins when there's been soft or heavy in the description. It isn't going to be heavy, that is for sure, but it might be on the soft side of good. I think he'll come on for that first run for Joseph O'Brien. I'm not at all going to say that Joseph is going to improve this horse since leaving Andre Farr, but just sometimes, a change of scene, they always don't they, a change is as good as a rest. So that's why you can make a bit of a case. I mean, he's a slightly bit bigger price as well, which is why I'm going against Never So Brave. But I mean, as you've said, Never So Brave is the one they've all got to catch. He's very, very well treated in the race. And, you know, if he handles conditions, you'd expect to see him go well. But this is a race, if you back the second in this race, so whoever finishes second, you will get your money back as cash. And money back as second in this 130 at Epsom on Saturday.
There you go. There's your offer for the 130. You can head to the Unibet website or the Unibet app for all the terms and conditions and the rest of the offers that Brett will be mentioning throughout the show. So yeah, Alcantor, Never So Brave, Joel, they're the two that have been mentioned. Which way are you siding?
Well, I'm going to throw another one in the mix. I echo a lot of what everybody's said so far, and I really like Never So Brave. Again, the worry is how soft are we going to get it, but as everyone's been saying, you know, it could turn up on the day and it could be good. So it's going to be a case of seeing the conditions on the day. But what I did want to chuck into the mix was Witness Stand for Dr. Richard Newland and Jamie Insull. This horse is out of form at the moment, but we did see that at the beginning of last year as well, before it went on sort of a nice run of performances over the summer. When I was looking at this last night, he was around 20-1, but I think that was maybe factored in that they thought he wasn't maybe going to run, because I noticed now he's around about 8-1. But yeah, I give him a chance in a race that, you know, if the favourite was to disappoint, I could see him picking up the pieces.
Okay, yeah, Witness Stand, yeah, winner at Goodwood in the Atlanta States, does like the trip over 7 furlong, did get the run of the race that day. Whether the horse can do that once again, wait and see, but has got Billy Lotnan aboard. So there's the fancies for the 130. Now let's get into some of the more meaty races. The 205 at Epsom is the Princess Elizabeth Stakes, Group 3 for the fillies and mares. This is just over a mile, and She's Perfect tops the market of 3-1. Sparks Fly is 100-30. Pacific Mission 4-1. Arisaig 6-1. Pina Sonata 6-1. Breckenbrough 11-1. Princess Child 12-1. Love Dynasty 20s. Betty Clover 25-1. Joel, I'll come back to you. I was actually at Goodwood the day that She's Perfect ran, and she was behind Blue Bolt that day, who I think Blue Bolt is a really good horse. The fact that I remember being on the postcard, She's Perfect at the time must have been about 2-1, 9-4, I think, and ended up going off a much, much bigger price, showed that she definitely needed that run. And it was quite clear to see. But if she does improve that run, gets back to last season's form, she's going to take some beating here, isn't she?
Yeah, I agree. She's the selection in the race for me. I was going to say exactly what you said. She took a big drift on the day. And bearing that in mind, I thought it was a solid return. Like you say, beaten by Blue Bolt. She should like the ground, whatever happens. I know we're having quite a bit of a discussion on that. But I think whatever the conditions are, I think she'll be okay. And as long as she can start building on the promise that she showed as a three-year-old, I think she should be winning here.
She's Perfect. Yeah, that'd be the one for me as well. G-Rod, one of your excellent team, Robbie Wilders, really likes Sparks Fly. But as you mentioned there, the ground just might not be where it needs to be for Sparks Fly, a horse that loves soft ground. And if it's not soft ground, loves to be in Song Clue, it seems. But are you in agreement that She's Perfect is the one to beat?
Not sure. She is a good horse, but she's a bit unlucky, I suppose, wasn't she, not to win that French Classic last year when she, you know, passed the post first. But, you know, she doesn't win loads of races, does she, for a horse who's favourite? Let's put it that way. And these fillies races, I often tend to be fun, you know, funny little races that they can throw up weird results. We were there last year, weren't we? Was it last year or the year before? There was a strange result in this, and then the horse. What was the horse? Can't remember what it was called now. It'll come back to me, Sam. But there was a horse that finished last, I think, or near last in this race, that came out. It was called Roaring Lion. Running Lion.
Running Lion, that's it.
Yeah, Running Lion, a couple of years ago, went, I think, favourite for this race, finished near last or last, and then came out and won the race at Royal Ascot. You know, and it can be a weird race. For that reason, I'm going to take a chance on Breckenborough. Who's trained by a guy I never heard of, but you probably know about him, Sam, because he's trained you around. Mario Baratti.
Yes.
Sounds Italian to me. Mario Baratti.
He would be, but he's obviously training in France.
Trains in France. This horse used to be trained by Andrew Balding, actually, in England. But, appeared to be improving towards the end of last season. And I thought ran really well last time out behind Anakova, is a horse that Breckenborough beat last season. She led for a long way that day at Longchamp and just got picked off late in one of those, you know, tactical little races that they have often in France. And Oisin Murphy's riding Breckenborough here. I'm guessing he must know her from when she used to be trained at boardings. I think she'll bang out and be nice and prominent, Breckenborough. She does tend to front run. She's got a good draw to try and do it in stall five. And like I said, this has been a weird race before. It can be tactical. It can be a bit like that. And it could just be a surprise for me. That's what I'm going to take a chance on Breckenborough.
Okay, yeah, Mario Baratti as well, going at 18% strike rate. Keep an eye on him, for sure. He did a runner in the Italian Derby as well the other day, which probably suggests he is Italian. Brett, I'll come to you for your selection. Who do you like in this?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very trappy sort of race, isn't it? It's one of those contests where it's for fillers and mares that perhaps that aren't obviously quite top notches, and they can just, this is the sort of level that they're at. She's perfect. Obviously, looked pretty good last year, and as you said, she just qualified in the Pouliche. Sparks Fly again, as you've said, if the ground is soft, then you'd have to put her into it. But she's not the most consistent, which just brings me to Pacific Mission. She ran okay behind Lilt at York last time, so you'd expect her to improve a little bit for that. She's got the right connections, Colin Keane, Andrew Boarding, Judd Mont, and so forth. So if you're going to go against a favourite, Pacific Mission would be one for me. But I've not got a massively strong opinion in it. All I do know, one is for sure, that will be top industry price every single runner. So that is a certainty.
Top industry pricing. It's from 9 a.m. on Saturday morning. Again, head to Unibet website and app for all of the details there. So, yeah, I'm going to have two votes for She's Perfect there. G-Rob with an outside bet on Breckenborough for the Baratti stable. Right, let's go on to one of the big races away from Derby. The big race away from the Derby, the 240, is the Coolmore Coronation Cup, over a mile and a half. This is for the older horses, and what a lineup we have for this. Calandagan's currently the 11-10 favourite with Unibet. Jan Bruegel is 85-40. Lamborn 6-1. Convergent 13-2. Bay City Roller is 21, 33-1 about Illinois. This is an absolute cracker, like I say, gents. G-Rod, Calandagan, I actually think this might be a bit of a gift, this 11-10. I know he was beaten in this last year by Jan Bruegel, but he's a completely different horse now than what he was a year ago. I kind of see it as a bit similar to what Deriz did when they brought Deriz over to York, and now look what he's doing. I think this horse is just a bit of a monster now. He is the best horse in the world, I think, on rankings. Is he at 11-10 the banker of the weekend?
Not for me, Sam. No, I like Calandagan an awful lot. I think he's really obviously a top animal, but I do have worries about him around Epsom, because this is a speed favouring track. It's not the easiest place to come from off the pace, and he found that out himself last year when really he had a very difficult task trying to catch Jan Bruegel from as far behind as Miguel Barcelona had him around a track like Epsom. And it's going to be very similar, I expect, here. You know, like, Calandagan's always held up. He's well suited by tracks that have long straights or stiff uphill finishes. You know, now I know that Epsom's got a long straight, but it's that camber. It's difficult to get rolling on it. It's largely downhill, isn't it? And, you know, it's not difficult in my eye to see Jan Bruegel getting first run on him again, and Calandagan having to do an incredible amount of work to get to him, and then having to run his finish out of him by the time he does get there. However, I'm taking both on. Sam, you know, with a bit of a bye bye baby, baby goodbye. There it goes. Sorry, I have to sing. I know I sung last year.
Yeah, you
Bay
sang
City
last week,
Roller.
Yeah.
Bay City Roller, yeah?
Yeah.
Sorry, I've lost my train of thought now after doing all that singing.
Carry on. I'm not stopping the recording. Right, you carry on.
Lambourne, when he came up against Lambourne in that race at Chester, the Huxley Stakes, I actually think that was a really good race. I thought Lambourne did well to win it over a trip that was short of his best. He set a good pace under Ryan Moore. But I think Bay City Roller's got a very good chance of reversing the places with Lambourne on these terms. He was giving weight to Lambourne, wasn't he, on that occasion. And Bay City Roller came out and ran a career best last time, despite the fact he didn't win. You know, he was second to Al McCam in that Group 1 at the Curra, which was a very strong race. You know, Minnie Hawk was in it. If she was in this, she would be anywhere near 20-1, and he was well ahead of her. And I just think that he's massive value in this race. I mean, he was so good over this trip last year on soft ground in Germany, wasn't he? When he thrashed that decent horse of Prescott's. If the rain comes, it will suit him, but he goes on any ground anyway. And I just think going back up to a mile and a half, you know, he's going to be saying, bye bye, baby, baby, goodbye to all of his rivals.
Bye.
All right, Brett, don't you get involved as well. Let's just leave it there. Right, so you're definitely not with Calandagan, but you're with a big prize, 20-1, Bay City Roller. Joel, it is your debut on this week's show. Don't worry, mate. You don't have to do it every week. Isn't that regular that we have on here? But who do you like in the coronation?
I'm actually, funny enough, in agreement with Girard. Oh. I thought Bay City Roller at 20-1 was, quite a big prize. Especially based on his run against Lambourne, where obviously he was getting he was carrying an extra £5 that day. And then it was a good run in the Tatstalls Gold Cup as well. Got the trip in Munich, like whatever ground. Yeah, I'm in agreement. I thought he was a big price. Regarding Calandagan, obviously he swept all before him since last season when he was defeated in this. I do think obviously he's a lot more mature now than he was back then, but it was interesting because I did an article recently and I reminded myself how the team didn't really blame the track, but they blamed they thought he got outstayed on the day where it was slightly soft, and he hadn't ran since the Dubai Shima Classic, and we've got the exact same potential situation this Saturday. So I do think, be it Jan Breugel or hopefully Bay City Roller, but if one was to be upsize him, coming to the last sort of furlong, half furlong, I think he could potentially get outstayed.
Right, so Joel's a big fan of Bay City Roller as well. Where am I going wrong here, Brett? I'm thinking Calandagan's a banker at 11-10 with Unibet. I think that's a really fair price, but I'm being told that the 20-1 Bay City Roller's the way to go.
Well, I'll tell you what, you haven't mentioned Convergent as well. He's trained by Carl Burke. I was listening to him in a podcast this week, and he says this is a very, very good horse. And although he made his debut on heavy ground at Redcar and he did win it, he said he wouldn't want it to be really testing. And it's not going to be, is it? He was impressive in the John Porter at Newbury last time on his first run back. I think you can make a good, this, as you said at the top, this is a very, very good Coronation Cup. Usually it's a four-runner affair. You get a long odds on favourite, and it's not really very interesting from a betting point of view. That's not the case this year. It's very, very open, you know, albeit Calandagan is the one they've all got to catch. I mean, you look at him, he's won £8.8 million in prize money. He's a gelding, so they're going to keep just, you know, going to the well as much as they can. You know, he's going to probably top 10 million, isn't he? I just like Convergent and a little bit of a price. I do think Calandagan and Jan Breugel have got it between them. But as I said, if you're looking at backing Calandagan, we are price boosting him as well before the race. So you will get enhanced odds with Unibet in that Coronation Cup.
I'll be taking that on Calandagan there. But yeah, Convergent, the one mentioned there by Brett, the one that's a little bit overlooked. But the guys basically rolled a 20-1, both Joel and G-Rod fancying that horse there. Now we go to the fastest 5 furlongs in the country. It is the Betfred Dash Handicap, the 3.15 there at Epsom. And looking at Unibet's price at the moment, it's 5-1 the field. Kinswoman is the 5-1 favourite for William Haggis and Tom Marquand. Lexington Blitz, 6-1. Dinosaur 7-1, Democracy Dilemma 8-1, Arklow Lad 10-1, Eclairge 11-1, King of Light 12-1, 14-1, bar these. Now, G-Rod hasn't got a selection here, so I won't go to him. But Brett, I'm going to start with you in this because I'd imagine there are going to be extra places in this race. I'd like to hope so as well, with how difficult this race often is to find the winner. Who did you like?
Not many, really. These are lotteries, aren't they? And these are lotteries. We are paying 5 places each way. The best backed in the race is Dream Composer for Tony Carroll. That went into 14-1 from 20s. I think Kinswoman is plenty short enough at the top of the market, what, around 4 or 5 to 1, albeit she could be quite smart. She might end up a Group 1 performer further down the line. I just like Dionysus for Ian Williams. I've ridden out two days there this week. He's got some nice chances going into Epsom this weekend. His team in really, really good form. I think he's one of, what, how many has Jim Hay got in this race? 3, 4? He's got quite a few, hasn't he? This is one of them. He does handle soft ground if it does turn up soft. He's pretty versatile, to be honest. He looks quite well handicapped. He ran well at Goodwood last time, finishing second, which would suggest he's just beginning to come back to something like his best, albeit he did actually get put up a pound for finishing second, which you never like that to see happen. But, you know, Ian is a taskmaster at getting these horses to prime, you know, at these big meetings. And I just think, what's he ran 7, 8 to 1 in a race where we are paying 5 places each way, Dionysus could be the way forward.
Okay, 5 places in this race here, but Dinosaur 7-1 currently for the 3.15 at Epsom, the Dash. Joel, you're going to give us your selection here. Anything at a big price you fancy?
Not particularly, to be honest. Again, it wouldn't, same as G-Rod, it wouldn't really be a race I've got a whole lot of an opinion on, but I do like Lexington Blitz. He did exactly that, blitzed them at Goodwood a month ago. And this was likely the next step. I believe he was gelded over the winter, and he seems to have returned an even better horse. He was hit with a 9-pound rise for the last victory, which is a fair hit. But he shouldn't mind whatever ground, and I think he's solid. He was second in it last year, and yeah, that's who I'd be siding with.
Okay, Lexington Blitz then. Yeah, the Cow Stable do know how to train a decent handicap sprinter as well. So yeah, around 6-1, Lexington Blitz. But the top of the market might be the way to go in the Dash. Now, the final race we look at is the race that follows the Derby, the 4.40, which is the Cherryfield Leicester Piggott Handicap. This is for the three-year-olds over a mile, 2 furlongs. And usually I love a middle-distance three-year-old handicap. I found this awfully tough to find the winner of. But Allegrees is the 4-1 favourite for the Balding and Balding Yard with Murphy aboard. Starlight Time 9-2. Hell yeah, he did it. 5-1. Folk Pageant 8-1. York Tower also 8-1. Lake Como 9-1. Double figures. But these, because you didn't have a selection in the last race at Graham Robway, I'm going to come straight to you. Who do you like in the 4.40?
I like Pendella, Sam. I thought that last time at York, that was quite a strong race. The time was good for the grade. Top speed of 76, and he's running off just 79 here. So he's nicely treated, judging purely on that. And Jack Nicholls has been arguably the find of the season, hasn't he? What a start he has made to his career. He's well worth his £5 claim in the saddle. We rode Pendella last time, and as I've said a few times on this podcast at Epsom, and this is well worth keeping in mind, I do not like horses who come from behind at Epsom. So Pendella is a front runner, and that is what I am looking for this weekend. So I expect Jack Nicholls will bang Pendella out and have a right on the pace, and she'd be difficult to pass.
Pendella is a horse that now sits in my memory because I was on a stag do at York a couple of weeks ago when this horse ran, and the guys asked me for a winner for the day, and I said Pendella will win. The horse hit the front, went quite fairly far clear, and I thought, this isn't getting caught. I turned round and I did the tackle thing and shook their hands, and then turned round and he's been beaten. So it didn't look great on my part, like a bit of an idiot that day. Brett, who did you like?
Again, this is tricky, isn't it? You know, 3 rows, a lot of them in there in handicap company for the first time, so you don't really know how well handicapped they are. York Tower would be one you could look at, and one who's got his handicap debut up, stepping up in trip. The other one is Starlight Time for Roger Varian and Ray Dawson. That probably would be the one I would go with both of those two. First handicap off 86, stepping up in trip. Has won at Epsom. That's primarily the reason I've had a look at that one. But no, it's a tricky race. We are super boosting the whole field in that one, though. So again, in hats odds, every single runner, that's our super boost race, the 440 at Epsom. But I should be on the road down the M25 on my way home by then. I might stay and watch Pixie Lott, though. Pixie Lott's playing, isn't she, this week?
There she is, yeah. She'll be playing there at the Derby. I imagine you've got the vocals for a bit of Pixie Lott.
You'll
as well,
have but... to cry me out. De-da-de-da-de-da.
There you go. See, this is what I mean, G. We'll get vocal lessons with Brett for you for the next couple of weeks, because I know you like to sing on it. So we'll get you ready for maybe some sort of performance towards the back end of the year. Joel, you're going to finish us off in this race. Who do you like?
Yeah, I must admit, I don't really have much of an opinion in this race either. I think I'll be halfway to Wayne Lineker's Ocean Beach party after the Christmas Day and ancient Egypt forecast comes in. I'll be looking to celebrate.
We can only hope. We can only hope. That'll be a hell of a forecast for you to land this. So there's the guys' fancies for the ITV card on Saturday. Like I say, do get involved. Do like, comment, share and subscribe. Get involved with the show and I will respond to as many comments as possible. Right, we're going to get the guys' Epsom Oaks quick selections and their best bet shortly after this.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet, you're on.
Here we are then, the final part of this week's Racing Postcard. Sam Hart, Joel Rees, Graham Robway and Brett Williams taking you through the ITV action. And although this postcast always covers the ITV action on Saturday, is worth just getting a quick selection for those who are viewing this ahead of the Oaks on Friday. Who do the panel fancy? So quick selections for the race. And Brett, I'll start with you.
It's an each way. Well, it was. I backed it each way actually after finishing place at Chester, but it's now much shorter. Rafe Beckett's A La Prochaine. I thought that was a good run from her up on the Rudy. Perhaps didn't get the best of run. She was quite slow away. Only her second start. She was like 25s, I think, after the race. She's now into what sort of 8, 9, possibly 10 to 1. So A La Prochaine for me. Each way in what looks, you know, a good renewal of the Oaks. And don't forget Mark Johnson's horse as well, Venetian Lace.
Venetian Lace. Yeah. It's a really interesting race. I do think Amelia Earhart is going to take off on Friday.
Oh, but wait.
Yeah, I have done it. Yeah, she's going to land the Oaks. She'll land the Oaks, Brett. you want to fly down the outside. Right, Joel, your Epsom Oaks fancy, please.
I think Amelia Earhart is obviously the obvious one in here and did it well last time at Chester. Seems to be a little bit mature now. Was a bit of a head case in at the beginning of her 2-year-old career, but I don't know. That would just sort of put me off steaming into her. I think I'll be looking towards Charlie Johnson's Venetian Lace and each way price.
Okay, Venetian Lace each way. Yeah, a few people mentioning this horse, and just depends on that ground for that horse as well. We'll just wait and see what it's like on Friday morning. Graham Robway, who is your selection in this year's Oaks?
I think the favourite will win this. I think Amelia Earhart will win this. Yeah, I thought she was good at Chester. I think that was a good race. And the one was being talked up before the race by the Gosdens, like she was something special. And yes, she did a lot wrong in that I'm the One. But Amelia Earhart fairly hammered her by 2 lengths. And I think it'd take a good horse to beat Amelia Earhart in the Oaks.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think she's a bit of an aeroplane. I really do. I'm excited to see her on Friday. Right, it's time. Let's get the best bets for the ITV card on Saturday then, gents. These will be boosted by Unibet as well. So you can look at Unibet's website for all of these. But we'll go to you first, Joel. Who's your best bet going to be this weekend?
So my best bet will be She's Perfect for Charlie Fellows. As discussed, I think she'll come on for the run at Goodwood. I think that she'll go on whatever ground we are faced with on the Saturday. And I think she's solid. Hopefully she just builds on what she showed at 3.
Okay, She's Perfect for Joel then. Graham Robway, for you, it's going to come in the Derby.
Yeah, I'm with Maltese Cross. I think that he'll confirm the form with Bay of Brilliance. Quite confident that's the right line of form for this year's Derby, that Lingfield Derby trial. So I hope I'm right, Sam.
Okay, I'm going to be the boring one and go for the shortest of the lot. I'm going to put up Callan again in the Coronation Cup. I think he's just a machine now, and I'd ignore what happened at Epsom last year. I do genuinely think that he's a completely different, mature horse who has the class to win this. And Brett, you're going to finish us off?
Yeah, Unibet price boosting Calandagan there, so you're going to get enhanced odds there. I like Alcantor in the 130. Money back race there. If you back the second, you're going to get your money back as cash. Alcantor, second run for Joseph O'Brien. Decent front running sort. Got a decent draw as well. Chip should be okay. So Alcantor for me, who should handle the ground conditions.
Okay, there you go. On screen now is the panel's naps. You can screenshot those. Do get involved. Check out the Unibet website to get hold of the boosts as well for those. And that's it for this week's show. Big thanks to Joel, who's made his debut. Great debut from yourself, G-Rod, and stepping in only for the big meetings, Brett Williams, which is great to have on board. We're going to be back again next week for two shows. We've got our regular Thursday show looking at the Saturday action, but we will be back on Sunday evening as well for our Royal Ascot Top 5 Bets video, which we know our viewers and listeners do like, so we'll be giving our best bets for Royal Ascot. It's only a couple of weeks away. Really looking forward to that. Big thanks to the guys. Big thanks to you guys.
Sam, sing us out. Sing us out.
I'm not singing you out.
Bye, baby. Bye, baby.
We'll leave it there. But do like, comment, share, and subscribe. Do gamble responsibly, and we'll see you again next week.